Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. We're on the air live right now to talk about how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Christ Jesus. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Let's talk about how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life. Don't wait. Call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go straight to our phone lines and talk with Terry in Germantown, Maryland, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Terry.
Oh, yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you are more than welcome.
Well, thank you. My question is in reference to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way." And I was wondering if you could tell me who the he was, who now letteth.
Well, that's a good question. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. We're thinking that would be the Antichrist. Richard, what's your take on that?
That was a good answer, yeah.
Yes, I agree completely. Now, the fact is that Satan and his minions have been doing bad things for a long, long time. Even before our world was created. And so as kind of sort of the owners of the world, even though Jesus has already defeated them, this evil that they do has been revealed throughout time, slowly but surely. It's always there. It's always an undercurrent. And Jesus is always the answer for it. When we get down here toward the end and this lawlessness is revealed for what it is, then that is Satan actually making himself known through the Antichrist, through certain kinds of leaders, false prophets, false religion, as you see in Revelation, and actually being seen for who he is and making the claim that this is mine and I'm going to take it and Jesus can't do a thing about it. And so in order for that to happen, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, has to say, "Okay, Satan, you can reveal yourself now," because they hold him back. God holds Satan back from trying to destroy all of us. And they're going to let him go and say, "Reveal yourself for who you are." And then Jesus literally defeats him by the spoken word. Jesus doesn't have to fight him. Jesus just tells him, "Sit down." And he sits down. "Be quiet." And he has to be quiet. And then he sends, and again, this is coming from Revelation, then he sends an angel to grab Satan and bind him up and throwing him into the abyss, into the pit. So this is the spiritual warfare that's been going on forever and a day, being made visible to the rest of us, and then Satan's defeat being made visible to the rest of us so that Jesus is ultimately successful.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I have heard other people say that the he was the Holy Spirit, and when it spoke of "until he be taken out of the way," that it meant was speaking of the rapture and the Christians being taken out of the world.
Well, that's certainly a theory or an interpretation of that particular verse, and they would tie that back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which verses 13 through 18, which is really the only passage in Scripture that it really gives substance to a rapture idea, that we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation is concerned. So they would tie this particular passage to that one. I think what Richard was saying there, the he that is holding it back is certainly God, but more particularly in the form of the Holy Spirit. So this is one of those, to me, one of those mystery passages. There's not a lot of detail. Paul certainly isn't specific. He doesn't identify. He just uses the he's and that sort of thing. So I think it lends itself to some different ideas there. But
do you believe the church will go through the rapture? That the church will go through the tribulation?
Well, Terry, we just know that one day Jesus is going to come back for us, and he's going to get us. Those who have gone before us are going to come back with him. And so there's just, you know, just an idea of the timing of all that.
Some of us are going to get gotten earlier.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, and God bless you, and have a wonderful day. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Terry. Thanks for your call. God bless.
Interesting conversation. If you'd like to join, we'd love for you to do that. Call 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. Plenty of time on the clock. 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Richmond, California, and talk to D.C., listening to us on KDIA. Hi, D.C.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Richard Piper and Bob Davis. How you guys doing?
Hey, guys.
Doing fantastic.
Doing fine.
All right. I want to know what does it mean, the last shall be first and the first shall be last?
Well, D.C., there's a couple of passages, you know, in the book of Matthew that deal with that. One is in relationship to the parable. The guy goes out and hires some people at the first part of the day and agrees to pay them a day's wages. And then he comes out a couple hours later and hires the next group and agrees to pay them the same. And then he hires another group mid-afternoon. And then at the very end of the day, there are still folks that haven't been employed, and so he says, go out and work. And he doesn't contract with them whatsoever. He just gives them the opportunity, and when it's all said and done, he gives them the exact same amount that he gave the people who worked the full day. They were pretty ticked about it, those who went out in the fields at the beginning. But he said, listen, I'm the one who is giving the wages, and this is what you agreed to work for. If I want to give the same amount to somebody at the end of the day, that's my prerogative. And so he concludes that with the first will be last and the last will be first. And so he's saying that the gift of God, basically the Holy Spirit, is given to all. It doesn't really matter. That's God's gift of grace to each and every single one of us. Somebody who receives the Lord on his deathbed gets the same benefits as somebody who received Christ early in life and walked with the Lord all of his life. There's no distinction as far as God is concerned, and I think that's what he's talking about.
Okay, I have to ask you one more question.
Okay.
What does a green horse symbolize? It's like a lime green horse. Does that symbolize a Catholic church?
Well, D.C., we have, different Bible scholars and theologians through the ages have always tried to interpret Revelation and say that the Catholic Church is involved in that they're the beast, that they're this, that they're that. That's their interpretation. I don't know that that's exactly the right interpretation. We do know that religion is certainly an enemy of true Christianity. There is religion in the world. Religion is our attempts to reach up to God through human effort. Christianity is God's method of reaching down to us in the person of Christ Jesus. So those two, just by nature, are at odds one with another. And so Jesus came to set us free from those religious bonds, and we experience that through faith in Jesus Christ. So we like to take the book of Revelation and take, our newspapers and see how the two match up. I don't know that we can really do that. All we do know is that the book of Revelation is just like the rest of Scripture. It's a revealing of Jesus Christ to us. It's a revealing of Jesus Christ in his glory to us. The last time we saw Jesus in Scripture, he's hanging on a cross. And then he had been raised back to life. And then he ascends into heaven. Revelation gives us a picture of what Jesus looks like as the ascended one seated at the right hand of God the Father, and everyone bows down and worships him. And I think if we leave it right there, I think we're going to be A-okay.
Okay, thank you. I'll call back tomorrow and ask you another question about the same question I just asked.
Okay.
Okay, you guys have a nice day.
Hey, thanks, D.C.
Thanks, D.C.
Well, let's go to Melvin in San Francisco listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Melvin.
Hi, brother. How are you? My question is about, you know, everybody says that when we die, we go to heaven with the Lord if we are Christians. Now, but I understand that God will create a new earth and a new heavens, right? So who's going to heaven and who's going to stay here on earth, on this planet?
Well, Melvin, we've become a body of Christ. We've become a new temple in which God is going to find his dwelling place. And if you will read, I think it's Revelation 21, you will see a image of the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven to take its place here on the new earth. And this new Jerusalem isn't a city as we would imagine it to be. It's the people of God. We've become the new Jerusalem, and Jesus Christ finds his dwelling place among us. And so we're going to occupy this new earth. And so at that point, as it is in heaven, it becomes here on planet Earth. Now, those who have rejected Christ, they're going to stand before a white throne judgment, and it says that they will be cast into the lake of fire, and that's where they will be forever. So those who reject Jesus, that's their final resting place, so to speak. Doesn't sound like a very good resting place, but that's what Scripture says. So, you know, the sea will call out its dead, and all of those who've rejected Christ will stand before him. They will be judged, and they will reap the final effects of their lost condition, and that's eternal separation from Christ.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, then. Thank you. God bless you, brother.
Hey, you're welcome, Melvin. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Clinton, Mass., and talk with Joe, listening to us on WVNE. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Somebody mentioned the law last one, and the exegesis that I see of that is that the holy law, holy, just, and good, as Paul wrote, has been abnegated by men so that none keep all of them or propose all of the Ten Commandments. And it's just annulled. Even the Jews, they were not saved by keeping the law because they had annulled it with Corban and no honoring parents and so forth.
Well, no one's ever been saved by keeping the law because no one's ever kept it other than Jesus Christ.
Not perfect, but there are those who do keep all of the law, all of them, some and more. And it's only a remnant that will ever be. I hope it's not eight like Noah's day, but that they're unique enough to be saved from.
Well, it's not the fact that they're unique. It's the fact that, they've been complicit with the plan of God as far as salvation is concerned. Noah was thought of as crazy back in his day to build that ark, but that was the plan of God for salvation from the impending destruction of the world. And God's plan, that was a foreshadowing of God's plan for us in Jesus Christ. He's the one who rescues us. He's the one who saves us. So it's never been a plan through law. It's always been a plan based on promise. And
yeah,
God is always faithful and to his promises.
Matthew 5:17, and right there, one jot nor one tittle shall not pass from this law till all be fulfilled, and he did it.
Jesus Christ did it. Jesus Christ fulfilled it. All of it. There's
but,
nothing that...
You know, Sunday observance is not holy law, and it's man-made. And I don't know at all, but some of those can say thanks. Okay, thanks a lot, though.
Okay,
Joe.
Thanks for your call. We appreciate that. Yeah, it's an interesting idea, interesting topic that Joe brings to the table. How are we saved? Is it through obedience to the law? Is it because we go to church on the Sabbath day, which is Saturday, as opposed to doing it on Sunday? All of that was a shadow. It's no reality in those laws. The reality is found in Christ. And if any one of us are going to be saved, it's going to be by grace through faith. There's only one way to do that. And that's what we talk about in our offer this particular month, Gateway to Grace. Yes. What is the plan of salvation? How are we saved? Can we be assured of salvation? And it's an important resource. We want to put it in your hands, and we'll do so as our way of saying thanks for a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel. Basic Gospel is listener-supported. We need your help. Questions like Joe's need to be answered. If Joe's asking those types of questions, you can count on the fact that hundreds of others are asking those same type questions. We want to be there to point people into the Word of God and to show them that Jesus Christ truly is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there's no way to be saved other than through faith in Him. So help us continue reaching out. Help us continue answering those questions over the airwaves. Radio is an important medium today in interacting with people. It's personal. It's dynamic. It's just one of the best ways to disseminate this good news. So help us do that by giving generously to Basic Gospel this month. Our way of saying thanks is this wonderful resource, Gateway to Grace.
And you can find it at basicgospel.net, that's basicgospel.net, or by calling 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. That number, our customer service line, 1-800-727-2828.
Let's go to Michelle, listening to us on WVNE. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to talk to you. So in the first caller's conversation, you mentioned that, and I may have heard this wrong, but it sounded like you said that the only place the rapture is mentioned is in 1 Thessalonians.
Well, that is the it is the one passage that primarily builds the whole theology around the rapture.
So are you saying that it's possible that the saved individuals won't be raptured before the...
Well, here's what I'm saying, Michelle, is this. I used to teach, the pre-trib rapture. I still probably lean in that direction. But as I go into the Word of God, that's not made clear in the Word of God. There's this one passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. There are aspects of that that you could latch on to say, hey, we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation begins. But you have to do a lot of biblical gymnastics to kind of connect dots. What we do know, and this is the great hope of the gospel, that Jesus is coming back, and that He is coming back for us, and that those who have already gone before us, they're going to come back with Jesus. That's what we know for sure. And so the scripture is very clear on that. And so I just tend to stick with what the scripture says is very, very clear, and hope for this this other thing. So that's how I look at that, Michelle. There's certainly others out there that are more equipped and knowledgeable on that in that regard, and you might find better help and better answers that way. But as far as I read the scripture, what's made abundantly clear is the second return of Christ. He is coming back. He is going to set His feet on planet Earth, and He will bring those who have gone before with Him. We can count on that. And for those of us who are still here when that event occurs, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to get our new resurrected bodies, and then we will join all of those that have gone before us, and that we will take up our proper place here and serve in this new kingdom that God is going to set up in Jesus, visible here on earth.
Michelle, thank you.
Hope that helps. Thanks for your call. Good question.
Thank you.
Let's go to Pennsylvania, somewhere around Pittsburgh, and talk with Sandra, listening to us on WWNL. Hi, Sandra. Sandra, you're on the line.
Maybe not.
She's not on the line, but Richard, she has a question about Revelation 12 and Satan's fall. What can you tell us about that?
Well, in Revelation, you have these pictures that are painted, and where we get in this trouble is trying to load those pictures into a timeline. Well, what we should just do is look at the picture. And clearly, what Revelation 12 talks about is that there was war in heaven. And the war was between Satan and Michael, Michael being an archangel, Satan, Lucifer, apparently an archangel before. And Satan was trying to take over. He wanted to be in charge. And Michael and his angels defeated Satan and his angels, and they were hurled to earth. And that's the picture you have to hold on to. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It's that from the beginning, the way to interpret this, from the beginning, Satan has been a defeated foe. He's always been more powerful than me as a human being. He has never been more powerful than Jesus. He's not even more powerful than the other angels. He is a defeated foe, and he was defeated then and thrown out of heaven. He's going to be defeated, or he was defeated again at the cross. He was defeated again at the resurrection. He was defeated again on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given to us. And when Jesus comes back, that ultimate defeat is going to be finished. I mean, there is no reason for us to fear Satan.
He is the ultimate loser.
He's the ultimate loser.
Yes, absolutely. And there's no contest. I mean, we try to pit Satan against Jesus as if they're equal foes, mm-hmm. But they're not.
No, not even close.
I mean, Satan doesn't even stand a chance. And at the end, when it's all said and done, it's just a word that Jesus speaks,
yeah.
And it's all over with.
It's just done.
Yes. Well, I hope that helps, Sandra. Thanks for your call. Well, let's go to New Orleans and talk with Ann, listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you today?
We're doing fantastic. How can we help you?
Very quickly, didn't y'all used to be People to People?
We did. Same ministry, just a new name, Basic Gospel.
How long have you been Basic Gospel?
A couple of months.
Oh, okay. Very quickly, I know you don't have much time. You know, in the early church, how the people sold everything and everything in common. We have people that still say we should live like that, no one should own anything. And I just can hang up and just like to hear your comments on that.
Well, Ann, great question. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Acts chapter 4, they shared their possessions, and that's
right.
That's what they did.
And the buyer got in trouble and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what they did. They're in the midst of persecution and that sort of thing that was happening to the early church, they banded together and shared their possessions to take care of one another. If God moves a person to do something like that today, that's God moving that particular person. It doesn't
right.
have to be a doctrine for what every Christian needs to do. That's
but
between,
nowhere are we commanded we have to do that.
That's exactly right.
So just, I don't think it's a sin to say this is my house and all. As long as that's become your God. But you know, there are people who say that.
Yeah, there's people that say a lot of things that
yes, you're right about
and they try to quote scripture and the scripture really doesn't support it. Well, Ann, great to hear from you. Nice. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
And we have had a tremendous response to our offer for Gateway to Grace for a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel. And if you have not yet taken advantage of that, we encourage you to do so by going online to basicgospel.net or calling our operator, 1-800-727-2828. We encourage you to pick it up as an opportunity to really examine our religious beliefs and practices. Gateway to Grace, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher and Richard Piper and the staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.